Sometimes we just never realize the value of something until it's gone. I think everybody here valued Carol Warren, but today we have a special yearning of how valuable he was. Now that he's a memory. In a moment like this, it seems to me that silence is really the only expression that fits. And yet here you are singing and here I am talking. But what can we as mere men say to hearts that are broken, hearts that have lost? What can we really say to honor the life of one like Carol Warren? How do we summarize 96 years in just a few minutes? But I believe we speak and we sing today because we have a living hope. Death is simply no respecter of persons. It's no respecter of youth. Death is a painful intrusion. Sometimes death is a merciful reliever. But it's always a constant reminder of our human frailty. But we can come together today to declare that Carol Warren has a living hope. And that allows us to rejoice greatly as we entomb Carol today. Our hope is found in the fact that Jesus is no longer entombed, but rose again. Carol lives because Jesus lives. Because the grieving heart has hope and reason to rejoice. Carol Warren, age 96, was born in Adelphi, Iowa on April 18, 1921 to Harold and Beatrice Warren. He died at the home at the age of 96 on February 6, 2008. He spent his life always a farmer. And he farmed most of those years right where you and I knew him, outside Carlisle. He was a founding member of the congregation that meets where we're sitting this afternoon. He served as an elder for over 50 years. That just staggers me. And if it doesn't stagger you, it's because you've never been an elder. He'll be remembered for his integrity, his gentleness, his dedication, his loving spirit to those that knew him personally and by reputation. He has left to cherish his memory, those left to cherish his memory include his wife, Betty, of 70 years. Two daughters, Pam Clemson and Paula Sampson, son-in-law, Lowell Herman, three grandchildren, Mark Herman, Danielle Brand, and Christopher Sampson, seven great-grandchildren, Nicholas, Madison, Shay, Gabriel, Sydney, Jake, Jaden, a sister, Marilyn McClure, a brother, Neil, sister-in-law, Lois Warren, and a host of nieces and nephews, and all of you friends. He was preceded in death by his parents and one daughter, Patricia Ann Herman, grandson Jeffrey Allen Sampson, sister Doris Love Turner, and two brothers, Carson and Don. To have a godly dad is a tremendous blessing. He never looked for praises. He was never one to boast. He just went on quietly working for the ones he loved the most. His dreams were seldom spoken. His wants were very few. And most of the time his worries went unspoken too. He was there, a firm foundation through all our storms of life. A sturdy hand to hold on to in times of stress and strife. A true friend we could turn to when times were good and bad. One of our greatest blessings, the man that they called Dad. I don't know who that was written for. Yes, I do. One of the quotes in the front of Carol's Bible read as follows. An infant is born with a clenched fist, but an old man dies with an open hand. Life has a way of prying loose our grasp on all that seems so important. End quote. And let me add that really in time is totally unimportant, isn't it? The girls found a 4 pages of a sermon that I don't know if Carol ever gave it or not, but it was in his Bible. And it's appropriate to read an excerpt from that. Carol said, at our home when I was a kid, 3 times a day there were 8 places set at the table, and we would all sit down to eat together. No television, no radio, just us. There's something about that that draws a family together and helps make that old house a home. I'm sure we feel that we have a good home, but we look for a better home whose builder and maker is God. But we need to be thankful if our home is a Christian home where you were taught about Jesus, because those early years are so important to learn, because what you learn will stay with you for a lifetime. A simple man, profound thoughts.
God give us Christian homes, homes where the Bible is loved and taught, homes where the Master's will is loved, homes crowned with beauty by love and pride. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. Homes where the Father is true and strong. Homes that are free from the light of wrong. Homes that are joyous with love and song. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. Homes where the mother it plainly quests, tries to show others the way is best. Homes where the Lord is an honored guest. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes. Homes where the children are led to know Christ in His beauty who loves them so. Homes where the altar fires burn and glow. God give us Christian homes. God give us Christian homes.
How would Carol want us to remember his life? A brother in Christ, an elder, a husband, father, grandfather. Well, I think we have a real privilege today because I think Carol told us how he wanted us to remember him. In the late 1990s, from this pulpit, he delivered a sermon entitled, I'm Drinking from My Saucer Because My Cup Has Overflowed. On April 17th, 2011, on his 90th, or around his 90th birthday, that sermon was played again from this pulpit. Played again because he physically wasn't up to giving it again. And he talks about what a blessed man he was. Carroll loved country music. He said, "I like the twang of the guitar. I like the sad songs." One night he was watching the Grand Ole Opry, and they were honoring a man some of you might remember, Little Jimmy Dickens. And Carroll recalled that on stage was Little Jimmy Dickens and another man named Jimmy Dean, which Carroll called the Sausage Man. And they did a little bit. I don't think Carroll had what they read at his disposal when he gave this talk, but I found it, I think. And it's a poem entitled, "Drinking from My Saucer." "I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now, but I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. And as I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Haven't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough, but I've got loving ones around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for His blessings and the mercies He bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Oh, remember times when things went wrong, my faith wore thin, something thin, but all at once the dark clouds broke and sun peeped through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough roads that I've hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough. I'll not ask for others' blessings. I'm already blessed enough. May I never be too busy to help others bear their loads. Then I'll just keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed." I didn't have a chance to ask Carroll if that's what he heard on the Grand Ole Opry, but I'm pretty sure it was. And it really struck Carroll so much that it was the essence of that sermon. It's on the Pleasant Hill website. It's on YouTube. I encourage you to listen to it. Not only for its content, but I listened to it several times this week, and what I found really emotionally inspiring was to hear his voice strong again. I'd kind of forgotten. Never was a loud voice, but it was strong and it was sure. And I think that gave a real insight into Carroll's life and how he viewed it. Times in his life that were sometimes hard. He gave that sermon before. He lost a daughter and a grandson. But I wonder how many times he reflected on that thought in those times. As I listened to that sermon, there were really four things that Carroll emphasized. I'm not going to give the sermon. I'll give the cliff notes. You can listen to it in its entirety. But he talked about how blessed he was to live in this land. Carroll never went outside the United States. That applies to some of you, but it gets rarer and rarer with each generation. But he was born a citizen of the United States, and he says, "My cup runneth over." He urged us to remember it's still the best despite its flaws, and we need to dwell on the good. He farmed for over 50 years and always amazed at the bounty that land near Carlisle provided. He said, we're all drinking from the saucer because our cup has overflowed. He went on to speak about his parents. He honored them because they showed him the way to an honorable life. They had a good name and gave him a good name. They were lovers of God. Carol's father died fairly young at the age of 62 with leukemia. But his mother lived for several decades past that. Carol was very close to his mother. Carol said he remembered his older brother Carson was in the World War II, served in the South Pacific. He was gone for 4 years, Carson was. They didn't see him for 4 years. Their mother wrote Carson every single day for 4 years. Carson came back and said, I didn't get all those letters, but you don't know what that meant to me. The third point that Carol made was how his cup has overflowed because of the church. He had known it all his life because he'd been raised in it like many of you and I have been. He said, and I quote, I can't imagine my life without the church, without Christ. It is our hope, our only hope. And then he quoted Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Carol said he always wanted to give his best. Men maybe prophetically, because this was 20 years probably before his death, he said, and I quote, I know you will be patient with me when I get old. Because you see, my cup runs over because of you. And his fourth point had to do with his family. 70 years married to Betty. I don't know if you know how they met. They shared it with me some time ago. It was at a roller skating rink. I'm not sure. Carol was probably 27, 28. He wasn't real young. Betty was 5 years younger. And Carol had an eye for the good. So he spotted Betty. Took him a little while to get up the courage. So he noticed Betty went to the restroom. So he parked his chair right by the restroom. When she came out, there he was. And it started a 70-year adventure. I commend him and Betty for that. Boy, do we need more of that. How much his girls meant to him. It's been quite some time, and this was before the deaths that I mentioned, but he once confided in me his worst day up until that point. And forgive me, Pam and Paula. He said it was the day I watched them with a trailer full pull out of the driveway and head out of town. But that was matched only by his joy when they came back. His grandchildren, you were crowns, jewels in his crown. Also prophetically, again, he said, but sometimes in the reality of life, we have to drink from the bitter cup. In time, it comes to us all. He had buried his parents. But when he made that statement, he had no idea about his daughter and grandson. But he was a wise enough man to know that even the sweetest cup has a tinge of bitterness. If there was a singular reason, and there is not, there is a multiplicity of reasons why I admired this man. It was how he was steady when things were good or when things were not so good. It's easy for us to have our faith when all is well. The test comes when the heart is broken. He told us if there's any leaving of God, we do the leaving, not God. Sometimes people would ask, where is God? Carol would say, he's where he's always been. He ended his lesson, and I think we'll hear him, hear that maybe reading. If not, I'll read it later. Psalms 23. And he especially emphasized verse 4 and 5 of that psalm, where it talks about the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Carol Warren was ready to die. And those of us that visited with him the last few years, you couldn't hardly have much of a conversation without him saying something to the effect, I don't know why I'm still here. Well, I couldn't totally answer that. I was just glad that he was. I found him to be a man with a sense of humor. Oh, 5, 6, 7 years ago, I was talking to him. This was past his time of driving a tractor, which he'd done for decades, but he did get to mow the yard with a little riding lawnmower. And I was visiting with him one day, and he said, John, you know what? They won't let me mow the yard. I thought, well, that's odd. Surely he can do that and make him feel good. He said, well, my reactions aren't very good, and I see I should turn, but I don't always turn in time. Come to find out, he had taken out some of Betty's flowers. She is one of the kindest, gentlest ladies I know. But you don't mess with Betty's flowers. And he got a kick out of that. He accepted that with humor. Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I think that was one of Carol's great attributes. Hard to be mad at Carol. Even neighbors down through the years, farmers that maybe weren't as congenial and other neighbors couldn't get along with, Carol always made an effort to get along with them. And I would say the same even about the church. Paula said, and I quote, Dad was a peacemaker, willing to go to great lengths, sometimes to his own detriment, to live peaceably with all men. And I thought of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. The family would especially also like to notice and thank the Hospice of Midwest, especially Sarah, who was his nurse, who I understand was actually there at the home when he died. And I can appreciate what they're saying. Having dealt with hospice about a year ago with my mom, it's despite your faith and how prepared you are, it is a comfort. But things are different now, at least for a while. Father's Day will be different. When his birthday rolls around, it'll be different. When we're all desirous to pick up the phone and ask Carol, what do you think about this? Only to realize he's not on the other end yet, right now. However death may come, it does cause us to come to grips with God. People often, I'm going to say people usually forget what we say. And they usually forget what we do. But they never forget how, we never forget how they make us feel. Carol Warren made me feel good. He made me feel good. God has made death a narrow starlit strip between the companionships of yesterday and the reunions of tomorrow. William Jennings Bryan. I believe Carol Warren has done his part. as best I can tell. It's our prayer, and I think his prayer, that we now do our part so that this is not a goodbye. It's only a temporary farewell. If you and I choose not to see Carol Warren again, it will be our choice, not his. Because as a child of God, it's like being adopted. You stand at the window and you wait. But the grieving process is normal. Washington Irving said, "There's a sacredness in tears. They are not the mark of weakness, but of power. They are the messengers of overwhelming grief and of unspeakable love." If we weren't saddened by his departure, it would bespeak the fact that he didn't mean that much to us. The fact that we are bespeaks that, how much he meant to us. We remember Carol Warren not by his pomp, not by his wealth, not by the world standards. I remember Carol Warren in all the ways that are important. His faith, his love, his dedication. It was almost 10 years to the month that I stood before you, and many of you were here, and we said goodbye to Vern Engel. And it was cold, and it was snowy. I thought a lot about those two men. They worked together for years. I'm not sure you could find two personalities much different. But they had the core commonality of love for God and love for the church. And this congregation owes each of them much. Today, it is Carol. Carol was 5 years older than Vern, and he lived 10 years longer than Vern. But they both had such an impact on my life and yours. And now, with all those memories, we must say goodbye. At least for a while. Because man is born to die, and death has come. We were touched by his life, therefore we are touched by his death. And he will be missed. There needs to be a grieving process. And the Lord is the one who can carry each of us through it. But it takes time. It takes time to heal. I don't care how prepared we think we are. There's an absoluteness to the departure. Losing a loved one is a little bit like learning to live with an amputation. You do heal, but you're never quite the same. But those who go through this and trust in the Lord can and will find a comfort and intimacy with God that sadly most people never experience. God doesn't promise an explanation for the difficulties that come our way. But he does promise to walk with us through the path of healing. Our choice is also to be, that we will be not angry for the time that we no longer have with Carol, but be thankful for the time that we did have. Betty, I know you weren't ready for him to go, but how many women have 70 years with the man they love? And Pam and Paula, I won't put a years on this, but one of you is a little older than me and the other one's a little younger. Many people never have that many decades with their parents. I say that so that you do not cry, because that's part of healing. But we're drinking from the saucer because our cup has overflowed. Before Mark starts the video, we will have a burial at the cemetery, and then we will return here, and there will be a meal for the family, and all of you are invited here back to the church for that.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now listen to this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Think of that. Death is a dread thought. We don't want to leave this place. But remember, if you are a Christian and faithful to the church, we can't go with our loved one, but the Lord will. David said, I fear no evil because thou art with me. Says, thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.